headlines, Iran says Israeli attacks on Syria and the presence of U.S. forces there hinder a political solution to the Syrian conflict. The British Prime Minister comes under further criticism over the so-called Partygate scandals amid resignation calls, even from within his own party. And a new poll shows a majority of Americans believe U.S. democracy is at risk of extinction and political extremism is on the rise in their country. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisu Misha Ahmadi, and these are top stories this hour. Iran's top diplomat says the illegal presence of American forces in Syria and Israeli airstrikes there are hampering efforts for a political solution to the crisis in the Arab country. Hossein Amir Abdullahian called on the international community to pay attention to that issue. He also said the crisis in Syria cannot be tackled without addressing the issue of the displaced people as well as the existing sanctions on the country. Those sanctions have been imposed by some Western states, including the United States. The Iranian official was speaking with UN Special Envoy for Syria, Geir Otto Pedersen, in Tehran. Pedersen described the situation in Syria as stable. He stressed the importance of preserving the country's national sovereignty and territorial integrity. Syria has been battling foreign-backed militancy for over 10 years now. Now, earlier we talked to Jim Kavanaugh, writer and political commentator, about what Israel is doing in Syria. He says the Israeli measures, from attacks to its occupation of the Golan Heights, should be stopped.
And the Israelis are attacking Syria at will, a couple of times a week, whenever they feel like it. Now we're in a state where Israel can bomb at will a sovereign country next door that isn't threatening it. Israel is also building settlements and doubling and tripling its settlements in the Golan Heights, which is Syrian territory. So all of these things are, you know, I don't see an end to these coming very quickly or very soon. There are a lot of open issues here that nobody in the world should be allowing to happen, which is the division of Syria, the occupation of Syria, the theft of Syrian land, and these things are going to have to be settled at some point by, I don't know, some kind of application of force, I bet.
Palestinian inmates held by Israel are fed up with its administrative detention policy, which allows the regime to indefinitely keep them behind bars without charge or trial. To show their anger at the policy, the prisoners are continuing to boycott Israel's military courts for 16 days now. The boycott applies to hearings to approve or renew the administrative detention orders. It also applies to appeal hearings and sessions at Israel's Supreme Court. In a statement, the Palestinian inmates have said that their move is aimed at ending the unjust Israeli practice. Some, in the past month, have also gone on hunger strike to protest a policy that rights groups say violate international law. The group says that the use of administrative detention is arbitrary and a form of collective punishment. And the chairman of the UK ruling Conservative Party joins a chorus of criticism over the parties that were held at Downing Street during COVID lockdowns.
This event was totally wrong. It shouldn't have happened. The Prime Minister has rightly apologised for it. People feel angry about what's been going on in Downing Street. I feel angry about what's going on in Downing Street. But the correct process now is to get to the full facts and then for the Prime Minister to appear before Parliament, which he will do, and to be held to account. But I can
assure you the Prime Minister is voting. Oliver Dowden, however, says the public don't want a leadership contest and Boris Johnson must remain as Prime Minister. He says the Premier, at the same time, must respond effectively and address the culture within the government once facts are established. The UK government has launched an internal inquiry into revelations about multiple gatherings by Johnson's staff during COVID lockdowns. Johnson himself has apologized for attending one of those gatherings that took place in the garden of his residence in May 2020. But the investigation and the apology have done little to quell the outrage. Johnson now faces resignation calls even from within his own party. The opposition Labour has seized the opportunity with both hands.
I think he broke the law. I think he's as good as admitted that he broke the law. And after all, Downing Street has now apologised to the Queen for some of the parties that have gone on. And I know that the government's holding position is let's all wait for the Sue Gray report, but I think it's pretty obvious what's happened. There's industrial scale partying that's been going on at Downing Street. Not much of it is really denied, and I think that the public have made up their mind. I think the facts speak for themselves. I think the Prime Minister broke the law. I think he then lied about what had happened.
Now, Johnson has been under relentless fire since last month. That is when a video emerged showing his staff laughing and joking about a Downing Street party during the 2020 Christmas lockdown. Anger grew after more such parties were disclosed, and all those followed criticism on several other fronts. They included Johnson's handling of a sleaze scandal, the awarding of lucrative COVID contracts, and the refurbishment of his Downing Street flat. A recent poll has given Labour a 10-point lead over the Conservatives, the biggest such advantage since 2013. Moving on, a new poll conducted in the United States shows that a majority of people there believe democracy in their country is at risk of disappearing. The poll was conducted in December by Sean Cooperman Research, headquartered in Washington, D.C. 51% of the respondents said yes to the statement, U.S. democracy is at risk of extinction. That fear fell evenly by independents as well as advocates of the Democratic and Republican parties. But when it comes to who to blame for the waning democracy, divisions emerge, with the Republicans and Democrats, of course, pointing the finger at one another. Based on the same poll, 80% of respondents want politicians to work together, and another 85% are concerned about the rise of political extremism in the U.S. And tensions remain high between Russia and the West over Ukraine following separate talks Moscow held with the U.S. and NATO last week. Even though Russia dismisses plans to invade Ukraine, with the West still accusing it of pursuing that and threatening Moscow with consequences. We discuss this issue in depth during our news review. Let's take a listen.
Time now for the news review. Prospects of reconciliation between the U.S. and Russia over Ukraine remain bleak following bilateral talks in Geneva. The U.S. is now threatening Russia with a swift response if it invades Ukraine. Senior U.S. diplomat Victoria Nuland says that the U.S. plans to inflict very sharp pain on Russia should it attack Ukraine. She says that the U.S. has prepared 18 scenarios in the event of a Russian attack on Ukraine. She says, however, Washington is still open to dialogue with Moscow and intends to respond to its demand for security guarantees. On the other side, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov says Moscow and Washington are on totally different tracks. He says this is disturbing for Russia. The remarks follow meetings between Russian officials and the U.S. and NATO earlier this week. The West accuses Russia of planning to attack Ukraine. Moscow rejects the allegation outright. Now, inviting a couple of guests now to get some more insight on this. Jerome Hughes, our correspondent in Brussels, is joining us. Also, Markis Papadopoulos, historian, public analyst, and author in London. Now, let's go to Brussels first. Jerome, diplomacy has apparently failed. The two sides are, you know, keeping up their harsh rhetoric, as you know. So, given the fact that they're very far from reaching an agreement, so how seriously should we take the threat of a new conflict erupting in Europe?
Well, Behrouz, it's difficult to say. Diplomacy has failed so far, but certainly we haven't reached the end game yet. And, you know, just in the past half an hour, I was speaking to one of my contacts in the European Commission, a senior official there. And the European Commission, its job is to formulate policy in terms of building up sort of a sanctions package, a potential new sanctions package that would be applied against Moscow. And they're coordinating closely with London and also Washington to try and build up this potential package of sanctions. And what I'm told is that, you know, in the event that Russia invades Ukraine, which, of course, Moscow denies that's the intention, well, then these sanctions would be applied, and apparently they would be the strongest sort of sanctions package that have ever been put together. They would be sort of targeting sort of all aspects of Russian society, Russian citizens living abroad. And the idea would be, you know, apart from a financial impact on Vladimir Putin, that it would have a political impact on him. But really, what I'm also told is that what's most likely to happen at this stage is that the West is going to give assurances to the Kremlin to say, look, you know, there are no immediate plans for Ukraine to join NATO. We'll scale back our military operations close to your borders and on the Black Sea, and to just give concrete assurances to Vladimir Putin that, you know, this is going to de-escalate from the Western side. Because really the feeling is that there's no military option here. I mean, if you leave the nuclear weapons aside, even on a conventional war footing, Russia has an enormous military capabilities. It has a fantastic defense system right along its borders in terms of anti-missile system. It has a huge number of troops. It has state-of-the-art equipment. And so even the feeling is that, you know, NATO officials feel that there's not even really a conventional war option with Russia, apart from the fact that it has this huge arsenal. Again, of course, always in the background is the possibility of it escalating to nuclear, which would, of course, be catastrophic. So the only show in town here, Behrouz, according to the people I've been speaking to, is a situation of diplomacy and to try and scale things back. And, of course, they will be asking for Russia to try and give something in return. The elephant in the room, of course, is Crimea. I mean, I was speaking to one analyst recently, and he said, look, you know, perhaps if you're going to criticize Vladimir Putin and his government, you could say that maybe they rushed into Crimea a bit too quickly, because the 2014 referendum, there was the overwhelming majority of the people of Crimea wanted to rejoin the Russian Federation. So perhaps he should have played the long game with that. Mm-hmm. That's a game he would have won in the long term. Perhaps he did that too quickly, perhaps without coordinating better with Kiev and with Brussels and with Washington and so on. And that continues to be sort of a major bone of contention. And it's sort of the backdrop to all of this.
All right. Okay, now let me ask Marcus this. Marcus, one basic argument that Russia is making is that NATO promised to stop enlarging beyond this what is called Cold War area, but then those promises were broken, as you know. And NATO is arguing that it's a decision made by consensus, not by promises made by individual member states, alluding to the United States, do not count as the alliance's formal policy. So which side do you believe is giving a more plausible argument?
There are two words which account for the dangerous level of global tension today between America and Russia: NATO expansion. And there are two words which account for NATO expansion: American exceptionalism. It is indeed the case, the irrefutable case, that in 1990, the Soviet Union consented to German reunification on the grounds that NATO would not expand beyond Germany's eastern border, namely into Eastern Europe. That was an assurance, albeit a verbal one, which was given to the then Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev by George Bush Sr., Helmut Kohl, Francois Mitterrand, and also the then American Secretary of State, James Baker, who told Gorbachev that there will not be one inch eastwards of NATO expansion. But, alas, the Americans violated that oral assurance which was given to Mikhail Gorbachev, and that is why NATO expanded not just into Eastern Europe, but also into the Baltic states of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. So Russia has a legitimate grievance, but time is not on the side of the Russians. Because whilst American policymakers are saying that they are prepared to keep on discussing the crisis surrounding Ukraine with the Kremlin, at the same time, the Americans are arming to the teeth the Ukrainian armed forces. They are expanding NATO's presence in Eastern Europe and also in the Baltic states. The Americans are widening their naval presence in the Black Sea. And on top of that, Washington is encouraging Sweden and Finland to join NATO. So you see, the Americans are demonstrating their specialism in duplicity. In public, they are calling for further dialogue with Russia, but at the same time, they are going to extreme lengths to undermine and threaten Russian national security. So what are Russia's options? Well, it is possible that Russia could take military action of some kind in Ukraine to counter the very dangerous presence, the very dangerous menace emanating from the country against Russian national security. At the same time, the Russians could deploy military personnel and hardware to Cuba and Venezuela. Indeed, in my new book, Arise Russia, which was published about a year ago, I predicted that the Kremlin would deploy or would consider deploying its armed forces to both Cuba and Venezuela as a bargaining chip to be used against the Americans in relation to the American military presence in Eastern Europe. And whilst NATO on paper is a collective decision-making block, in practice, America is the de facto leader. Right. When America wants something, NATO does it. Because, quite simply, the Germans, the French, the Italians, the Greeks, the Spanish are very concerned about NATO's presence in Ukraine, and they do not wish to see Ukraine admitted into the Western military bloc. So all is not well in NATO.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry to jump in. That's all the time we have. Thank you very much. Jerome Hughes, our correspondent in Brussels, and Marcus Papadopoulos, historian, public analyst, and author in London. And that's it for this edition of the News Review.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
Yourself.
Avery Krishmanandi from India.
was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of journalism.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 16th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So, contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any message for our great listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program, your program actually. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. And here, I do appreciate one of those listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Muhammad Fadli from Malaysia, Nestor Fischetto from Argentina, and Massimo Lombardo from Italy. And my warm gratitude to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world, including an email from Fernando Gavala Seis from Spain, Igor Belevich from Belarus, Arontio from the Philippines. Also, we have an email from Vikram Keshwala from the UK, and the last but not the least is an email from Ding Lu from China. Many thanks for sending us these emails from around the world. Please stay with us. I will be back after a short music. Welcome back. Fernando Gavela Seis, or maybe Seis from Spain, has sent us an email. Fernando says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I'm very happy because today I've listened to your broadcast at 12:06 p.m. UTC with good signals in Santander, Spain. I have the pleasure of sending you a video with the recording that I have made. I would like, it is possible, to receive your confirmation QSL card. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year 2022. Thank you so much." Salam and warm greetings to you, Fernanda Gavilla says from Spain. Sorry if I didn't pronounce your name correctly. I don't know your language, but I promise to learn different languages so that I can pronounce the names of our great listeners around the world correctly. Okay, so you are very happy to have listened to IRIB English radio broadcast, and we are very happy that our signals, the signals of IRIB English radio, are received very well in Santander, Spain. As you said, you received those signals very good in your region, Santander, Spain, and that's great. Thank you for sending us the video with the recording. Yes, we received that. And my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. And also, thank you for sending us the congratulatory message for the Christian New Year 2022. We wish you all the best in 2022, the Christian New Year. And of course, we wish all our listeners around the world a very great New Year 2022. Fernando, thank you very much for sending us this email. Write to us soon. And, of course, don't forget to tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And Igor Belevich from Belarus, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Igor says, hello, IRIB English radio. I listen to IRIB English radio on medium wave on my analog, simple but very good SWMW radio receiver. Is it possible to send me a frequency guide of your broadcast, please? Thank you. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Igor Belevich from Belarus, one of our regular listeners. Thank you very much for sending us this email. We are happy that you were able to receive the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting on medium wave and short wave, and that's great. And regarding your request about sending you a frequency guide of IRIB English radio broadcast, the frequency guide is actually available at our website. Yes, you can find the frequency guide of IRIB English radio broadcast at www.parstoday.com/en. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English radio is not possible in the time of the pandemic. So my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Igor Belevich from Belarus, thank you for sending us this message. Write to us soon and tell us which program or programs you like the best. So, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from the Philippines. Stay with us. Welcome back. Aaron Tio from the Philippines has sent us an email. One of our regular listeners. Yes, Aaron is one of our regular listeners who says, dear IRIB English Radio, I am Aaron Tio from Manila, Philippines. I am enclosing the details of shortwave radio reception for IRIB English Radio. As I said, I'm listening to the broadcast from Manila, Philippines. When I tuned in, I heard some Persian music, I presume, which was so lovely. I hope that my reception report would be acknowledged with QSL verification card. I wish you all good health and happiness in the year 2022. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Aaron Tio from the Philippines. And I do send my appreciations to you for sending us this email to IRIB English Radio. So you tuned in to IRIB English Radio and you heard some Persian music. And that's great. We are so happy that you found it so lovely. So,
Aren't you from the Philippines? We received the enclosed package you sent, which contained the details of shortwave radio reception for IRB English radio broadcast. Thank you for that. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a verification. Thank you for writing to us. We also wish you all good health and happiness in the year 2022. Aren't you from the Philippines? Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English radio broadcast. And from China, we have an email from Ding Lu, one of our regular listeners. Ding Lu from China says, "Dear IRIB World Service English Broadcast, or IRIB English Radio, I am a listener from China. Today I received your signal at 1921 to 1940 UTC. The signal is very strong, and the listening effect is very clear. Here, I want to apply for a paper QSL card from the IRIB. If there are other souvenirs, it would be even better. I wish IRIB the best. Also, I wish for the peace across the world in the new year. Looking forward to receiving your reply. Thanks." Also, Ding Lu from China says, "I want to know more about the Islamic Republic of Iran through IRIB." Salam and warm greetings to you, Ding Lu from China, and many thanks for sending us this email. Yes, you're one of our great listeners from China. So you received the signals of IRIB English Radio at 1921 to 1940 UTC, and the signal was strong and the listening effect was very clear, and we are so happy for that. We are so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are well received in your region and your country, and that's great. So if you want, if your English is very good, as we are seeing in your email, and if you're interested about knowing about the Islamic Republic of Iran through IRIB, actually, IRIB World Service, so you can listen to IRIB English radio programs and be one of our regular listeners. So, Ding Lu from China, write to us soon. We are waiting for one of your emails which tells us your views about IRIB English radio broadcast. Write to us soon, Ding Lu from China, thank you. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Vikram Keshwala from the UK. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Vikram Keshwala from the UK, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Vikram says, "Dear staff, I could listen to your radio station today and I'm writing to send you a reception report. I hope it will be of interest to you. If you issue QSL cards, I would very much like to receive one if at all possible. I look forward to future programs and will gladly send in reception reports from time to time. That is all. Thanks again for your help and kindness, and I look forward to hearing from you soon." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Vikram Keshwala from the UK, and I do send my appreciations to you for sending us this email. And many thanks for your actually help, kindness, and support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. It was very kind of you. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card because we are in the time of pandemic and we can't send you paper QSL cards. So please accept the EQSL card, electronic QSL card from us, and write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you, Vikram Keshwala from the UK. Stay with us, please. Thank you. And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listener's Special. Please keep in touch with us. And goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
in the limelight.
World food price inflation has more complex causes than other price increases, and addressing it effectively requires a different set of strategies. But rich country governments are not sufficiently discussing them, and the world's poor are continuing to suffer as a result. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Jayati Ghosh, writer. This article is published under the heading, World Food Price Inflation Hits Poorest the Hardest. Stay tuned for more. The question of how best to control inflation is back on the economic policy agenda, and opinion is divided about how to address it. The mainstream view emphasizes the need for tighter monetary policies and regards higher interest rates and reduced liquidity provision as justified, even if they dampen the fragile economic recovery now underway in many countries. Others argue that today's inflation is transitory, reflecting temporary supply bottlenecks and labor market shifts, and will soon correct itself. In rich countries, policymakers still rely mainly on macroeconomic tools to tackle inflation. But one set of price increases is different from the others: food price inflation. Not only does this phenomenon have a much greater direct impact on people's lives, especially in developing economies, it also reflects more complex causes, and addressing it effectively requires a completely different set of strategies. Unfortunately, governments are not discussing them sufficiently. This neglect is deeply troubling. At the end of 2021, the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization's Food Price Index was at its highest level in a decade and close to its previous peak of June 2011, when many were warning of a global food crisis. Moreover, last year's increase was sudden. From 2015 to 2020, food prices had been relatively low and stable, but soared by an average of 28% in 2021. Much of this surge was driven by cereals, with maize and wheat prices increasing by 44% and 31% respectively. But prices of other food items also shot up. Prices for vegetable oil hit a record high during the year. Sugar was up by 38%, and price increases for meat and dairy products, though lower, were still in the double digits. Food price inflation currently exceeds the increase in the overall price index and is even more alarming given the significant decline in workers' wage incomes during the COVID-19 pandemic, especially in low and middle income countries. This lethal combination of more expensive food and lower incomes is fueling catastrophic increases in hunger and malnutrition. There are many possible reasons for the spike in food prices. Some are systematic. Supply chain problems, especially regarding transportation, have been a major factor driving price increases for a wide range of commodities. Thus, grain prices rose rapidly in 2021, despite record global output of nearly 2.8 billion tons. Energy prices are also important in determining the cost of producing and transporting food. The large increase in oil prices in 2021 obviously affected the food prices faced by consumers. In addition, more frequent extreme weather events make crop output more volatile and reduce yields. Some have argued that prices of agricultural commodities as disparate as Brazilian coffee, Belgian potatoes, and Canadian yellow peas, now widely used by the food industry to produce plant-based meat substitutes, rose sharply last year after weather events induced by climate change undermined output. In March 2021, the FAO warned that increasingly frequent climate-related disasters were affecting agricultural supplies. Droughts are the single greatest threat, accounting for more than one-third of crop and livestock losses in low and lower middle-income countries. But floods, storms, pests, diseases, and wildfires have also become more intense and widespread, as was evident last year. We can expect much more climate-related pressure on food production in the coming years, with developing regions in Asia and Africa likely to be hit hardest. The threats to food production from climate risk underscore the need for greater international cooperation to tackle global warming and its consequences. Sadly, such collaboration seems unlikely. But some of the other factors contributing to food price increases are the direct result of policy and regulatory changes. These include the significant increase in stockpiling by governments and consumers, driven by fears that new waves of the COVID-19 pandemic will put further pressure on food supplies. The expectation of future food price increases then becomes self-fulfilling, owing to higher current demand. Last November, the FAO estimated that the global food import bill in 2021 would be the highest ever, at more than $1.75 trillion, a 14% increase from 2020 and 12% higher than the FAO's forecast just a few months earlier. This is bad news for lower-income economies, which may have more pressing food import requirements than other countries, but could be squeezed out of global markets because of increased demand. The other important factor is financial speculation in food markets, which has recently experienced a revival. Food commodities became an asset class for financial deregulation in the United States in the early 2000s, and there is significant evidence that this played a major role in destabilizing food price volatility of 2007 to 2009. In recent years, these commodities had become less attractive to investors, but that changed during the pandemic. Despite high volatility, long positions in major food commodity markets were significant and positive for most of 2021, suggesting that financial investors were expecting prices to increase. The volume of such investments grew substantially last year, enabled by persistent regulatory loopholes and availability of cheap credit to financial institutions. Unlike some of the more systematic forces affecting food supply and prices, in the medium term, policymakers could easily address the issues of stockpiling and speculation. But that requires governments to accept that these are problems and to master the will to address them. Until they do, food price inflation will continue to hit the world's poor the hardest.
You have just listened to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat, or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to RIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood ghudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترك همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Martyr Soleimani will live on forever and his enemies will disappear in history's dustbin. January 5th, 2022.
Praise be to God, Lord of the worlds, and peace and greetings be upon our Master, Muhammad, and his pure household, particularly the remnant of God on earth.
رحمت خدا رضوان خدا بر شهید عزیزمون که ماجرای شهادت این عزیز بزرگوار یک حادثه ملی بلکه یک حادثه بین الملل اسلامی شد و خب دومین سالگرد هست مردم دارن این کارها رو میکنن.
May God's mercy and paradise be bestowed upon our dear martyr, whose martyrdom turned into a national and international matter in the world of Islam. Well, this is the second anniversary for him, and people are doing many things in commemorating him. Later on, I will expand on the things people are doing. In fact, we are only following what the people are doing. Our meeting and our statements are actually a continuation of the innovative moves being made by the people throughout the country. I previously spoke of the Soleimani School of Thought. Shahid Soleimani turned into a school of thought, or it was so from the beginning. Praise God, I have seen that many books have been published about this school of thought, books that I hadn't seen before. If we want to briefly explain what we call the Soleimani School of Thought, we should say that it is summarized in truthfulness and sincerity.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today. And that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
این دو کلمه در واقع عنوان و نماد و نمایه مکتب سلیمانی است. صدق یعنی همون چیزی که در آیه شریفه من المؤمنین رجال صدقوا ما عهد الله علیه، که حالا مختصری توضیح عرض میکنه.
These two words are actually the title, symbol and emblems of Mater Soleimani's school of thought. Truthfulness is what we can see in the holy verse of the Holy Quran. Of the believers are men who are true to the covenant which they made with Allah. The Holy Quran, Surah 33, verse 23. I will expand on this later. Sincerity, too, has been mentioned in numerous verses in the Quran, including, Say, verily I command that I should serve Allah, being sincere to Him in obedience. The Holy Quran, Surah 39, verse 11. These two verses from the Quran formed the basis of Mater Soleimani's movement.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.